Welcome back to Zlatbili Cycling Podcast. Today we will discuss Tadej Pogačar's early performances in the 2023 season, where he won the gravel race at first in Jaén, Paraíso Interior, and then he destroyed everyone in Volta Andalusia, where he won 3 out of 5 stages. Yeah, but probably could have won every stage if he wanted. And yeah, this is Tadej Pogačar, and let's start with his Andalusia stage 1 performance, which was like only kind of long climb where we have his watts per kilo estimations. And Nychka, what Pogačar did in that stage? And
yeah, that was the only kind of real climb stage of Andalusia, where the main climb was to the Despiana Caballos climb, which was like a rather shallow climb, and then there was also a short descent as well. So it was 7.8 kilometers at 7.06%, and then a short descent and another false flat. So perfect for Pogačar, because he's unbeatable on these shallow gradients, or at least undroppable. And he, yeah, easily beat the competition. Mas was there, Buitrago was there, Landa, Carlos Rodriguez, Gegenhardt. None of them had really a chance to match it. Buitrago stayed on the wheel of Pogačar for a little bit, but then dropped as well. Overall, it was 6.33 watts per kilogram for 19 minutes, 25 seconds. The watts per kilogram, not crazy. He didn't need to do it. And probably the pacing at the start wasn't super high. UAE were pacing, but it wasn't that high because the people weren't dropping just too fast. And it was also pretty difficult conditions for February, at least.
This stage was like 5 hours long, and before the climb they already did like 4 hours and 30 minutes, something like that, and spent at least Mohorič spent like 4,000 kilojoules or more, which was like already kind of a lot of fatigue in the legs. And yeah, Pogačar, maybe the watts per kilo wasn't great for like 20 minutes, because the steep section wasn't that long, and after that there were like 3 kilometers at 2%, the last section of the climb, which you didn't include, and then there was like shallow descent where he was also like pushing probably big watts, because on shallow descents you also need to pedal really hard. So probably his performance was more impressive than watts per kilo shows, like 6.3.
Yeah, because none of the riders pushed good watts per kilogram. Like Mas, Buitrago, etc. at 6.06. And even at this point in the season, they can most definitely do more with the conditions that the climb were a little bit more favorable for that.
So probably also, as you mentioned, they didn't pace the start of the climb as hard as in Tour of Oman or in UAE Tour, where Intermarché and UAE Emirates like sent full gas. It was interesting because Buitrago was the last person to sit on Pogačar's wheel. Like, he even like bridged the gap, and then Pogačar accelerated for the second time, and it seemed pretty like easy for Pogačar.
Yeah. It always does in these early season races. Like, he always seems to win them without any trouble. I think we had UAE Tour usually where he just dominated. This year, Andalusia, then Strada last year.
Yeah. Like, at least in UAE Tour, there was Adam Yates on Jebel Hafid.
Yeah, but
then he could sit on a Yates wheel.
Like, in these kind of early season races, he just seems to be closer to his peak level than anybody else most of the time. He just seems to be able to keep his peak for longer, I guess.
Yeah, also, like, before the race, he said his weight is at the same level. Like, he can maintain this weight for whole year, practically.
Right.
Maybe, like, 1 or 2 kilos. Like, yeah, like, it's not even, like, Remco Evenepoel, who had, like, 3 kilograms overweight, as he said in an interview before UAE Tour.
So, yeah, that would explain as well why he's keeping his weight, his level so consistent over the year if he's not gaining weight, which most riders probably do, or a lot of riders at least.
Yeah.
And it might be related as well to the fact that Pogačar is kind of heavy for a GC rider, his size at least.
Yeah, he's 176 centimeters tall and 66 kilograms, so it's not that crazy, but also like his leg muscles, if you look at them, like they are not like Bradley Wiggins, let's say, who had like it seemed like no muscles in legs. he was just like a stickman. Pogacar is built like a classics rider. Yeah, actually, like he like, yeah. Like his arms also kind of isn't like super skinny. And maybe he might drop even more weight, compared to Jonas Vingegaard, but probably he knows then he will lose power, or it's hard to maintain that weight, and like, why the fuck you need to drop the weight if you can win practically every race except Tour de France? Yeah, the Tour de France, yeah, he for Tour de France, he will probably, need to drop if he wants to beat Jonas. Yeah,
I just checked. Enric Mas, for example, is at the same height, or he's 1 centimeter taller than Pogacar, even, and he's like 6-7 kilogram lighter, so like. He's pretty heavy for his size, at least for GC rider.
I would say it's also because of his like type of muscles. Yeah, he has
more
faster twitch, and that's also why his sprint actually is that great.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that he's probably like, even if you try to, probably can't drop as much weight as Mas, but just for comparison,
like maybe like 1 kilogram more, like 2 kilograms max.
Like
he's Roglic. Already of course like he's super like skinny already, but like cycling, like in cycling, like look at the Jonas Vingegaard in Tour de France, like there's no fucking fat on his face, like he's so fucking skinny.
Like Pogacar's probably like similar body type to Roglic, who's also similar size and a bit lighter. I think he could probably drop to like 64 if he really tried. Pogacar was 65, but it's probably not worth it for him.
At least, except for Tour de France, maybe.
Yeah, and even then, you never know how, like, if you really feel that well, if you drop that much weight. Like, we had Evenepoel, who dropped too much weight for the Giro in 2021, where he, like, was, like, 61 kilogram, and it just looked, like, not normal, or, like, not healthy, at least, and didn't perform well either.
Yeah, couldn't also time trial, and that was also like his first race after injury. Yeah, but in Vuelta 2022, when he won, he didn't seem to be so light.
I think he said before that it was target weight was like 62.5 kilogram compared to 60.5 for the Giro, so 2 kilogram more.
It
was
like
a big difference.
It might include also like muscle weight, because when you get to that low fat percentage, you also will lose muscles very likely. Well, like it's possible to maintain also muscles, but it's super hard. But okay, about today's player Pogacar, he won like another two stages in Andalusia, which were both uphill finishes, but short and punchy.
Two punchy finishes. Enric Mas was pretty close on both of them, or second on both of them. But he had it on the stage four, which was the second of the two punchy finishes. He was actually kind of close to dropping Pogacar at some point, it looked like, but it wasn't quite enough. And Pogacar then always has the for last final punch in the sprint to just completely ruin Mas. So he won that stage as well. And on stage three, which was another short uphill finish that was won by the break by Tim Valens, who's the teammate of Pogacar now, he also was like by far the strongest from the peloton, Pogacar, so
I guess also he could have won it easily.
And at stage five,
he was like a lead out guy for Alessandro Covey, so
and Covey, I don't think the lead off of Pogacar was perfect. He was like, he's not used to being a leader, man. I think he could have probably done even better than Covey himself on this finish, but it's probably better in these smaller races to give his teammates a bit more opportunities.
Because like, who cares if he wins like three or five stages in Andalusia? Like who the fuck cares? Yeah,
it's like the same like he did with my kind tour Slovenia, where they just gifted stages and stuff.
He has won like already 51 races, and he's only like 24.
Yeah, and then probably at this point in his career, he doesn't care below anything below World Tour, probably. Or even like World Tour GC races even
yeah,
more.
monuments and grand tours. Let's say
Yeah, and
that.
maybe 1 week GCs, maybe.
Maybe, yeah,
Maybe, yeah.
like he won also Jaén Paraíso Interior, which is like a gravel race in Spain in Andalusia region, and yeah, there he won with like 42 kilometers solo and like in Strade Bianche last year, so there was kind of also no competition. Okay, Ben Turner finished second, and then Evenepoel like dominated, Tim Valence was third, Mark Hirschi fourth. So
Yeah, it was kind of an expected result. Last year was where Lutsenko won with a. I mean, it's a really similar race to Strade, and the competition isn't up to par, or not even as good as Strade last year, where it wasn't also elite and he completely dominated the race, obviously. And yeah, the doing Jaén, but then skipping Strade is a bit interesting as well, because he had just announced that he will be skipping Strade this year.
Yeah, riding Paris-Nice. I have a theory because he hasn't like ridden Paris-Nice, and he might want to like add that race to his palmarès
Yeah.
because he has won already like UAE Tour twice, Tirreno-Adriatico twice, and then from the early races in the calendar he hasn't won Paris-Nice, and then
Yeah.
maybe later in his career he can complete like winning every Grand Tour and every 1 week race in World Tour.
Yeah,
That's very likely.
it's a similar goal to Roglic, I think, who said he wants to win all 1 week, so that's why he's doing Catalonia and Tour de Suisse this year or something.
Not confirmed about Tour de Suisse yet, but he
But I think
will.
he mentioned something about it, but
Yeah,
yeah, it's
maybe.
not fully confirmed.
Like there are like these 1 week races which are like more, how to say, prestige. Like they don't
Yeah.
include Pologne or Tour de Ganges or.
Or
Or
to
Eneco
Romandy.
Tour, or
Yeah.
Romandy. Oh no, I think Romandy is included in this list.
Oh yeah. It was like the top 7 1 weeks or
Yeah,
something.
top
Yeah.
seven. It's
Yeah,
like
then
Basque
Romandy is
Country,
included. I think
Catalonia.
UAE is even excluded in
Yeah,
that.
you also isn't included. So it's, let's check. It's like Dauphiné, Tirreno,
Dauphiné,
Paris-Nice,
Tirreno,
Romandy,
Paris-Nice.
Swiss, Basque Country, and Catalonia. Yeah,
Yeah,
seven.
exactly.
So Pogačar
Pretty much
also
the
might do
European
it.
ones.
Yeah.
Except Boulogne.
Yeah. And Bingo Bongo Tour, yeah.
Oh yeah, that one.
That one too. Yeah, Pogacar is like seems at a good level as
Yeah, he
usual.
seems it will be really hard to be honest in Paris-Nice, especially with the team time trial, which Jumbo should be the favorite for, definitely. So yeah, I'm excited to see it. I think that might be also the reason why Pogacar is skipping Strade. He's all out focusing on really battling Vingegaard, who's obviously riding
Yeah,
in
because it's
Paris-Nice.
also like it's. I think it's impossible to combine Strade Bianche and Paris-Nice because
Yeah,
they are like it's Strade Bianche
it's kind.
starts. Like it's
It's
like one
on.
day in between them.
Yeah, no, it's like the next day. Like
Oh, the
it's I
next
think
day.
Strade, and then the next day is Paris-Nice.
Then Pogacar already like won Strade Bianche, so why the fuck he needs? There is no point. It's not a monument yet. So
Yeah.
yeah,
It
he
will never be.
yeah. But the funny thing was that after Pogacar won Andalusia, his Tour de France odds dropped. He became even like bigger favorite because he won these smaller races. He dominated, and then after Jonas won Gran Camino, Jonas odds again like skyrocketed, and they are like almost equal in betting markets. Like Pogacar is still slight favorite, but in some betting markets I saw even like Jonas is like at least equal or also maybe favored over Pogacar. So it's interesting to see how these smaller races
It will
might
probably like
impact.
develop a lot depending on Paris-Nice
Yeah.
climbing, I believe. That
Yeah,
will
like
probably change the odds a lot because
Paris-Nice
it's a
will influence
true head-to-head.
everything.
Yeah.
Because like these guys like Pogacar, Roglic and Vingegaard, they are racing like so rarely against each other except Tour de France.
Yeah, it's like in general
Yeah.
the top GC guys, because like Roglic and Pogacar also raced like once or twice against each
Yeah.
other in like 3 years. So yeah,
they are like how to say, trying to avoid each other, like that they are
splitting up all the races.
Yeah, sending their schedules, and which is like kind of logical because like you know you will win this race and also I will win this race, so maybe like just split everything. Yeah, but finally we will see Jonas versus Pogacar in Paris-Nice.